The Playmakers Blog and Shooting Lights Out is being brought to you by Liz. Liz, Locker Room by Liz. Get your favorite hat gear, your favorite sports gear from Liz.com. And as of right now, free shipping on U.S. orders for over $24. That is promo code Liz24 for your free shipping on orders over $24. That is Liz, L-I-D-S. 24 for your promo code. Also, Shooting Lights Out is being brought to you by Fanatics. Fanatics, get your favorite memorabilia, your favorite sports gear, your sportswear, rep your favorite team, and only the way that you can. Fanatics was sports fan shop, and today you can also get free shipping, U.S. shipping from Fanatics.com with the promo code 24SHIP. That is 24SHIP. And finally, by Paramount Plus. Catch live sports, breaking news, and a whole lot of entertainment with it from CBS, Nickelodeon, MTV, and a whole lot more. Paramount Plus, mountains of entertainment. And now, for this news episode of Shooting Lights Out.
Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win, that's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting Lights Out. Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing on today? January 10th, 2023, on this lovely Tuesday. I am your host, Donner the Playmaker Silence here. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Shooting Lights Out. I didn't do the episode yesterday like I normally do because I wanted to wait for a result of a certain game that happened last night, and I got the result that I wanted. But nevertheless, I still be talking about them in a minute. I have two, not one, but two flagrant fouls to give out today. One of which comes from a finals pick that I did, so I have to put a finals team that I pick in the favorite foul section. And I have a Big East team down in college basketball on the men's side that I am putting in the favorite foul as well. No heat check this week. I'll look forward to doing the heat check next week if a couple of teams continue to go on the road that they are right now. But nevertheless, I have two flagrant fouls for you this week. But y'all know how I roll. I got to get you caught up with some news and notes from around the hardwood. And beginning, we're going to start off with the AP Top 25 for the men's side. As you can see, those of you who are watching on YouTube, thank you for watching on YouTube. If you're new and just watching Shooting Lights Out for the first time, go ahead and subscribe to our channel, the Playmakers Blog channel, and keep up with everything that we got going. You can go back and look at all the heat checks that I have done, all the flagrant fouls that I have done, all around the hardwood I have done, every show that we have done on the Playmakers Blog network. You go ahead and do that. But nevertheless, your AP Top 25 that came out yesterday, Houston Cougars reclaimed the top spot in the polls, followed by Kansas. Purdue drops down to 4. Alabama, Tennessee, UConn, UCLA, Gonzaga, Arizona, and Texas. We got news on Texas coming up, but continue on for the men's top 25 down. You get up to a team that had the biggest jump of the week at number 11, the Kansas State Wildcats. They jumped 15 spots all the way up to 11, followed by Xavier, Virginia, Iowa State, Arkansas, Miami, TCU, Wisconsin, Providence, Missouri is at 20, Auburn at 21, College or Charleston at 22, San Diego State, Duke, and followed by Marquette running out the top 25 on the men's side. That is your AP Top 25 for this week. And like I said, we did have news on Texas, and back last week, Texas officially fired Chris Beers amongst the domestic family violence charge. As you can see, those of you who are watching on YouTube, those who are listening to the audio, follow us on any platform that you listen to, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all that good stuff. Jeff Bozzaro wrote this article, as you can see, those who are watching on YouTube. Texas head men's basketball coach Chris Beard was fired Thursday, less than 1 month after the school suspended him without pay following his arrest on a domestic family violence charge. Assistant head coach Ronnie Taylor, who has been acting as head coach since Beard's suspension, will remain in charge for the rest of the season. Longhorns athletic director Chris Dale Conjins released a statement Thursday afternoon announcing the decision, saying, quote, "The University of Texas has parted ways with Chris Beard. This has been a difficult situation that we've been diligently working through. Today, I informed Mr. Beard of our decision to terminate him effectively immediately," close quote. The university's vice president of legal affairs, Jim Davis, wrote in a letter to Chris Beard's attorney, Perry Minton, that Beard engaged in, quote, "unacceptable behavior that makes him unfit to serve as head coach at our university." Mr. Davis continued to write, "Whether prosecutors continue with the case does not determine whether Beard engaged in conduct unbecoming of the school," is what Davis wrote. So if those of you who are trying to remember what took place, so back on December 12th, Beard was arrested that morning after his fiance, Randy Tui, told officers he took her from behind, bit her, and hit her when the two got into an argument. Twitter released a statement on the 23rd in which she denied telling the police he choked her. She was saying that, quote, "Chris did not strangle me. I told that to law enforcement that evening." Chris has stated that he was acting in self-defense, and I did not want to refute that. I do not believe Chris was trying to intentionally harm me in any way, close quote. Nevertheless, Chris Beard, you have been terminated as the head coach of the Texas Longhorns, after which you did a stellar job with the Texas Separated Raiders, getting them to the finals, but ultimately losing to, I want to say, Virginia that year. You went to Texas, you had them improving, you had them up there in the ranks, but nevertheless, a domestic violence incident, whether it happened or not, as a result of a head coach losing his job. Texas said they did their due diligence into this matter, and after which they've come to the conclusion that they couldn't bring Chris Beard back. I can't fault them for that. I don't think anybody should fault Texas for doing that. Nevertheless, Chris Beard, hope you and your fiance, y'all work things out by then. Hope everything's good and good right now, and that you'd probably take the rest of the season off, come back, get a new head coaching job somewhere in the country, because you're a damn good coach, and you will have the players ready to play. And he's definitely playing some damn defense, because if Chris Beard's your coach, you're going to play defense. Ask Texas Tech. Ask Texas, you're going to play some defense. So now we have to move on to another one. That's the only one we were going for the men's side. We're going to switch over to the ladies. As the ladies' top 25 came out on yesterday, as South Carolina still undefeated, so still number one, followed by Stanford, Ohio State, UConn, LSU, Indiana, Notre Dame, USC, Maryland, and Utah rounding up the top 10. Coming in at number 11 is the NC State Wolfpack, followed by Iowa, Virginia Tech, Arizona, Iowa State at 15, Duke, Michigan, Baylor, Oklahoma, Gonzaga coming in at 20, with Oregon at 21, North Carolina 22, Kansas, Illinois, and Villanova running out the ladies' top 25. And we do have news from the ladies' side. As you can see, this was from the Associated Press. It was back on January 6th when the Lady Huskies had to postpone their game against DePaul because they were lacking the eligible amount of players to play the game. The Big East game between number 4, UConn and DePaul on Sunday, had it been postponed because the Huskies do not have enough healthy players available to suit up, the conference said. Junior Aaliyah Edwards and freshman Ayanna Patterson were injured in UConn's win at Xavier on Thursday. They joined sophomore Caroline Doenchum, sophomore Azee Flood, junior Paige Beckers, and freshman Ice Brady on the inactive list. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That is 6 players not healthy. You really dressed 12 of the 13 players. So that's why they had to postpone. But that's not the only thing that's going on with them. As for Gino Auriemma, he is taking time off to focus on his health as well. So not only is UConn having bodies drop left and right, their head coach is also stepping away. And furthermore, Beckers, we already knew, is not coming back with the season-ending knee injury, but Brady's not coming back as well because she also has a knee injury. Gino Auriemma is stepping away. He had missed 4 games this season due to illness, and it was unclear when he might return. So when he did return, he still wasn't right. This is what Gino had to say. He says, quote, "It's been an extremely difficult month for me. I had been feeling under the weather and worn down. I thought I was ready to return, but I need a little more time. I'm going to take a step back to focus on my health and will return when I feel ready." Tumultuous season right now for the Huskies, but they are ranked number 4th in the poll. And they are still playing good ball, despite everything that's been going on, because it's UConn. Gino Auriemma has built that program to sustain greatness, and they have. We had a 13-2 record so far, but they see going forward as they are going through a very difficult time right now. Continuing on, we have 2 articles, both by M.A. Rupal, and they both center around Dreanna Edwards. As those of you who are watching on YouTube, it says Kentucky counters Edwards' post on not signing waiver. That article is based on the fact that Miss Edwards decided to transfer out of the University of Kentucky to Baylor through the transfer portal. Yet, what Kentucky is claiming is that the letter or the form that was sent to them is not the form that is needed for them to sign to make the transfer actually go through and make her eligible to play. Now, the problem with this is that she transferred from another school. Don't have it on top of my head right now. But as you see, back-to-back articles. She started her career at Utah. So this is what it says. Before it was because it's a second transfer, having started her career at Utah, Edwards was not eligible for the one-time transfer exemption that would have prevented her from sitting out this season, nor was she eligible to play right away as a graduate transfer, as she did not graduate from Kentucky. Nevertheless, Kentucky is not signing a form that is not the correct form. Secondly, is that, matter of fact, I have the article right here. Baylor's women basketball player, Dreanna Edwards, who transferred from Kentucky, said the Wildcats still hasn't signed what she called a waiver to allow her to play this season for the Bears. However, Kentucky countered that what the school was asked to sign was not a waiver, but an NCAA no participation opportunity form, certifying that Edwards would not have had the opportunity to play if she stayed at Kentucky, which she attended the previous 3 years. Kentucky says it would have been false to sign the form and that Edwards was informed of that before she transferred. Even with such a signed form, players in Edwards' situation will still need an NCAA decision to be given immediate eligibility for this season. Because this is Edwards' second transfer, she began her career with the Utah Utes back in 2018. She is not eligible for the NCAA's current policy, allowing a one-time transfer exemption that keeps players from having to sit out a year. Edwards acknowledged in her social media post that she did not graduate from Kentucky and thus could not be immediately eligible as a transfer grad either. She says she has made progress towards her degree with 33 credit hours over the past 6 months from Baylor. So that's step one. You knew the situation you were going into, and you still didn't do what you're supposed to do to end up playing. So this is when the next article comes into play, as you can see. Baylor getting transferred, Dreanna Edwards ready for next season, Coach Nikki Collins says. Baylor's women's basketball coach, Nikki Collins, says while she wishes for Dreanna Edwards will be able to play this season, she hopes to help her prepare for her future with the Bears and beyond. Collins spoke Saturday after the 23rd-ranked Bears, 75-62 win over the Kansas Jayhawks Thursday. Edward posted on social media about her eligibility situation. She is transferring from Kentucky this spring. Because it's her second transfer and having started at Utah, Edwards was not eligible for a first-time exemption. Nor was she eligible to play right away as a graduate transfer, as she did not graduate from Kentucky. As you can see, this is a whole situation that is complicated. And then again, maybe not complicated because it's simple. You didn't graduate from Kentucky when you first transferred to Kentucky from Utah. Secondly, you already transferred from Utah to Kentucky, which means you is out on both counts. So continue to work on your grades. Make sure you get high scores. Practice when you need to practice. Bring a beer around a team. Build that relationship with your teammates, even though you're not playing. And then when next season gets here, when next November gets here, you should be ready to rock and roll with the team. All right? From the women's game to the NBA. Lakers, LeBron James talks pursuit of scoring record, staying great at 28. Now, for those of you who know, I am not a Lakers fan. For those of you who know, I have been avoiding talking Lakers outside of me giving them a fucking foul with one of the opening breaking fouls that I gave, because that was just very disrespectful how they was started off the season. Yet, nevertheless, LeBron James is closing in on the record. I believe he's less than 500 away from the record, if I remember correctly. And he's doing his thing. He's still putting up tremendous numbers at the age of 38. I will admit, I will not deny that. Nevertheless, LeBron James, however, is a guy who wants to be known as a winner. As of right now, LeBron James is just 35 points away from joining Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the only members of the NBA to score 38,000 points in a career. Okay? And of course, he's hundreds of more away from present, said Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, for the most points scored in NBA history. Nevertheless, LeBron James was named the Western Conference Player of the Week after averaging 35 points, 8.7 rebounds, and 7.7 assists in his previous three games, as the Lakers went on a 5-game winning streak that ended against the Denver Nuggets. But a game that LeBron James set out. And yet, still, the focus is centered around LeBron because they want to see LeBron pass the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most score points ever. Nevertheless, he will when he will. It's not if, it just win. And when he does it, my question is, where would the Lakers be at that moment in time? Because as of right now, if I'm looking at the standings correctly, the Lakers are 3 games under 500. Can the Lakers, with LeBron James, be in playoff position when LeBron James take the record? That is my question. Will the Lakers ever get above 500 before LeBron takes the record? That is my question. If he gets the scoring title, correct? If he gets the scoring record, correct? But the Lakers are not in playoff contention, and they are under 500. I won't give a damn. Because LeBron James, supposedly, he wants to win championships. He wants to be known as great. Even though people are already giving him great, and he wants to be known as the greatest and all this other stuff. You can't. You have to win another championship. You have to be on the road to a championship. You've been to 10 finals. You won 40% of them out of 10. You're 4 out of 10 in championships. That's not good. I mean, you're a four-time champion. We'll say that. But you lost 6 of them. That is a big indictment against you, Mr. James. You lost more than half of the times you've been to the championship. There's another guy in a different sport that won, that's been to the Super Bowl 10 times. He's won 7 of them. Only lost 3. With 2 coming to one team. But nevertheless, he's won more championship than every NFL franchise. The Cowboys, who you are a friend of, Mr. James, only won 6 championships. The San Francisco 49ers have only won 6 Super Bowls. The Pittsburgh Steelers only won 6 Super Bowls. Thomas Edward Breida has won 7. And right now he's in the playoffs getting ready to try to go for number 8. Speaking of which, we'll be going against the Dallas Cowboys. Ironically, then I'm talking about LeBron James, and his team is going against the guy that I'm comparing him to, Tom Brady. So, Mr. James, it'll be a great congratulations. Yeah. All right. That you will get the ultimate scoring title. Nevertheless, you still lost 6 championships. And only won 4. Can you make that five and only five and six? Then I'll feel a little more comfortable. I'll be less critical of you. Until then, I can care less. Speaking of the Lakers, they are hoping to ramp up Mr. Anthony Davis when the Lakers come back from their road trip. David Mettman wrote this article as well. He did the other article, the LeBron James article. The pain in Anthony Davis' right foot continues to subside, and the Lakers start plans to begin to ramp up process to return to play when the Lakers return to LA this week, lead sources tell ESPN. Davis missed his 13th straight game Monday, a 122-109 loss to the Denver Nuggets because of a bone spur fracture off the notorious bone on his right foot, as well as stress reaction. The Lakers are now 7-6 overall without Mr. Anthony Davis as they wrap up a 2-game road trip. You have to remember Anthony Davis' injury occurred the last time the Lakers played the Nuggets back on December 16th when he felt a sharp pain in his right foot after his lower leg had made contact with Denver Nuggets' Nikola Jokic when the two matched up in the paint. All right, that would be a big help for LeBron James as he goes on his journey to get the scoring record. It would be a big help. The Lakers might be actually to win some more games now, make some things happen. Nevertheless, we shall see. Continuing on, Kawhi Leonard on a Clippers 6-game skid. Time to prove we're 18. Now, for those of you who have been watching from the start, know for a fact that I picked the Clippers once again to come out of the West. Okay? This is not going well. Ty Lue tried shaking up his lineup. By the way, Omi Yomirsky, good job on his article, sir, for ESPN. Ty Lue tried shaking up his starting lineup by placing Reggie Jackson at the point guard, but the Clippers watched Atlanta Hawks Trae Young take over in the fourth quarter and deal the Los Angeles Clippers a 6 consecutive loss. Young scored 14 of his 30 points in the final, 6-27, to erase an 11-point deficit lead by the Clippers and help Atlanta escape Crypto.com Arena with a 112-108 win on Sunday. The Clippers 21-21 on the season. A team that came into the season with championship expectations are now are now mirroring the longest losing streak of the Kawhi Leonard Paul George era. Leonard said this is a good test to see if the Clippers can preserve. Quote, I think it's still good. This is the spot where the Clippers see if you're really enjoying the game. And if we're a team, seeing we can dig out of this hole, it is fun. It's a good challenge for us. If Paul George said this, I wouldn't have no problem. If Reggie Jackson said this, wouldn't have a problem. If Tyronn Lue came out and said this, I wouldn't have a problem. But the fact that it's Kawhi Leonard, I have a goddamn problem. Have you, out of all people in the goddamn league, out of all people in the league, is the one that can come out and say, it's time to prove a real team. How the freak can you prove you're a damn team when you're behind? Don't play. I mean, let me see if it's in his articles. Because how many games Kawhi Leonard missed this season already? Because every time I turn around, your ass is sitting down. Paul George is hurt. I can understand Paul George not playing. He actually hurt. You, on the other hand, Mr. Low Management. Thank you, Stephen A. Smith and Cole Johnson, for that. Mr. Low Management is what you are. When we every time we turn around, Kawhi Leonard is not playing. And we know the Clippers getting their butts kicked because we know you ain't playing. And we know it's even worse when you and Paul George don't play because they're getting blown out. So if you're going to sit here and say this, your ass better be on the goddamn court. Your ass better be playing like the goddamn Claw that was in San Antonio that took his ass to goddamn Toronto to win two championships. You won one in San Antonio. You won one with the Raptors. Let me know when that Kawhi Leonard is back. Until then, Kawhi Leonard, shut up. I don't want to hear from you unless you're playing ball. Go on to my last around the hardwood note for today. And it's the biggest one. Next, say Kevin Durant out at least 2 weeks when they MCS sprain. This was on yesterday's. I have a new one that came out later on that day that says that Kevin Durant is expected to miss a month, okay? Brooklyn star forward Kevin Durant is expected to be sidelined for approximately a month, sources tell ESPN's Andrea Wojnarowski on Monday. The Nets announced Monday that Durant, diagnosed with a isolated MCL sprain on his right knee, will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Durant missed 6 weeks with a left MCL sprain beginning in January of last season, but there's confidence that this is less severe than that won't sideline the MVP candidate more than 4 weeks. Durant sustained an injury in the third quarter of the Nets 102-101 victory of the Miami Heat Sunday night. The injury occurred with 1:05 left in the third quarter as Heat swing man Jimmy Butler went to the rim but got his shot blocked by the Nets big man Ben Simmons. Butler fell back into Durant's knee and Durant stayed on the ground for a few moments, but remained in the game. Durant kept rubbing at the knee up and down the floor and was taken out when the Nets called timeout about 30 seconds later. He walked straight back to the locker room to get checked out and did not return. This is a shame because the Nets has been rolling. They was on a 12-game winning streak. I think they on another winning streak right now. The Nets has been rolling. They've been balling correct. Kyrie Irving has been on his best behavior. He's not even speaking. He's balling. Ben Simmons, there's no more APB out on him. He's showing up for every game and playing. Like the article said, Kevin Durant is an MVP candidate. That's how much he was balling. Jock Vaughn's done a great job with this team. Okay. He's shown a great diligence and great coaching aspects with this team. It's hard. It's a shame to see what's going on with Kevin Durant. But nevertheless, Kyrie Irving, it's time for you to step up, sir. You've done well so far. Now it's time for you to really take on that leadership role while Kevin Durant is out. Can you do it? We shall see. Okay, that is it for Around the Hardwood. All right, when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we have a fragrant file to give out, our first of two. The Playmakers Blog is proudly to announce that it is sponsored by Fanatics. Fanatics, where you can get all your official license, sports gear, memorabilia, whether it's for the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, or even International Soccer League, or even college sports. So rep your team, rep the hardware, get comfortable, because Fanatics is the way to go, where sports fans shop and official license everything. And welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. As you just saw, it's time to hand out a flagrant foul. And our first flagrant foul takes us to college basketball. And those of you who see the logo for watching on YouTube, you know what team this is. We are talking about the Georgetown Hoyas. The Georgetown Hoyas are currently 5-12 on the season, and they have not won a Big East game as of right now. They are 0-6 in the Big East. They are currently 11th in the Big East, which is the final slot of the Big East, ladies and gentlemen. They have lost 7 in a row, ladies and gentlemen. It's not been a very great season for one Patrick Ewing in the Georgetown. As you can see from the start of the season, Coppin State, they won by 10 in overtime, by the way. And then they took out Green Bay and blew them out. Your first loss came to Northwestern, a Big Ten team, and you lost by 12. Loyola Marymount beat you at home. They basically blew you out. LaSalle beat you at home. No, you beat LaSalle after you lost 2 straight. Then American comes in and beats you. You beat UMBC, which is Milwaukee. I forgot Milwaukee, something like that. You beat them. Then you go to Texas Tech and you get beat. So you leave the month of November 4-4. Questionable losses. But you're 4-4 in this Georgetown. Allen Iverson, Patrick Ewing. Let me go to the Georgetown greats. Patrick Ewing, Jeff Green, Dikembe Mutombo. I mean, Allen Iverson. This is Georgetown we're talking about here, you know. Robert Horry, who? People remember him? He's big behind. There's a number of people that I can just throw out there to say, Alonzo Mourning, you know, these are great. This is Georgetown we're talking about, the Hoyas. And then you begin the month of December against the South Carolina team, who hasn't really been doing anything as a note. I am a SEC guy, if you've been following me. South Carolina ain't even know nothing. South Carolina, they 7-8 overall. They lost their first 2 games of conference play, but you lose to South Carolina. You beat Siena. You go to the Q-Dome of Syracuse and you get blitzed. You come home to Xavier for your Big East beginning. You get beat there. You lose at UConn. You lose at DePaul. You come home, you get beat by Butler. You lose to Villanova and you lose to Marquette. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's go your 7 straight losses right there.
Okay.
I am baffled by this because this is Georgetown, Patrick Ewing. You know, you think you bring in Patrick, you bring in a guy who's from the town, from the school, to get the team rolling. To get it going and get it popping. Nah. So now, you have a game tonight at home against Seton Hall. That is on FS1 at 8:30. After that, you go to Villanova. That is next Monday. So you have from Tuesday to Monday off before you go to the city of brotherly love in Villanova. After that, you go and take on Xavier before you face DuPaul at St. John's, Creighton, UConn, and Providence. Can you turn it around? We shall see. But as of right now, it's not looking good for Georgetown. Like I said, this is Patrick Ewing's sixth season as the head coach of the Georgetown Hoyas, 5-12 overall, 0-6 in the Big East in his sixth season. Nevertheless, as the head coach for the Georgetown Hoyas, Patrick Ewing has a record of 73-95 overall. In Big East play, he is 26-67. His total win percentage as the head coach of the Georgetown Hoyas is 43.5%. His record in the Big East is a whopping 28%. 28%. 28. You have won 28% of the games you coach in the Big East, Patrick Ewing. It's the great Patrick Ewing. You know, my good friends, Brian Snow, Cole Johnson, they love Patrick Ewing. They love that Knicks team. That is led by Patrick Ewing. But you ain't getting it done at Georgetown. Now, granted, he did win the Big East tournament. But that year, the Big East, he was 99. He was 9-9 in the Big East before they went on that run to win the Big East tournament. And then, you know, they didn't do so well in the NCAA tournament. But you know what? But I know how this works, so let me go and get the numbers for you, shall we? Because I understand. I understand that people of Georgetown, the great people of Washington, D.C., are stunned about what's going on with their program. They are. And I understand. Trust me, I understand. But if I'm being completely honest, and that's what I pride myself on doing, being completely honest, doing things fair, because when I do my next Fragrant File, you'll see how honest I am. And it's a team that I think to go to the finals. All right. Patrick Ewing. They took a first round exit to Colorado back in 2021. I do believe that is the year they won the Big East tournament. Yes, 2021, when they went 9-9 overall in the Big East, but you know, winning the Big East tournament. They got knocked out in the first round by Colorado, and it wasn't even close, 96-73. That's the only time on the Patrick Ewing that they made the NCAA tournament. Otherwise, they've been the NIT once since Patrick Ewing has been there. And they got took out in the first round in 2019 by Harvard. So, basically, in 5 seasons, as the head coach of the Georgetown Hoyas, the great Patrick Ewing, ladies and gentlemen, you know, for those of you who don't know about Patrick Ewing, 11-time NBA All-Star, All-NBA first team in 1990, 6-time All-NBA second team, 3-time defensive second team, rookie of the year in 1986, all-rookie team that same year. He was a member of the NBA anniversary 50th team and the 75th team. The Knicks have retired his jersey number 33. He was the NCAA champion for the Georgetown Hoyas back in 1984. He was voted most outstanding player that year. He was player of the year after in 1985. He's been a two-time Big East player of the year, a four-time Big East defensive player of the year. Just to give you some properties of what he meant to Georgetown and what he meant to the game of basketball when he played for the New York Knicks. But as the head coach of the Georgetown Hoyas, that's the head coach. You're saying that on your screen if you watch on YouTube. 73-95 overall, 73 wins, 95 losses, And the Big East played 26 wins and 67 losses, which rounds out to about overall win percentage of 43.5 overall and a Big East percentage of 28%. Has one Big East tournament title in 2021. He's only been to the NCAA tournament that one time. Okay. He's only been there one time. And he's only been to the NIT one time. Okay. 2017, 15-15, 5-3, finished eighth in the Big East. 2018, 2019, 19-14, 9-9, NIT first round exit. COVID year of 2019, 2020, 15-17, 5-13. 2020, 2021, 13-13, 9-7-9 in Big East play, but went on to win the Big East tournament. I don't know how. Got ousted in the first round by Colorado. Last season, 2021-2022, 6-25, 0-19, finished last in the Big East. And currently, as we stated numerous times, 5-12 on the season, 0-6. They have lost 25 straight Big East games from last season to this season. They are 0-25. This could be Patrick Ewing's last year as the head coach of the Georgetown Warriors. It would be a shame, but it would probably be well deserved, sir. Because this team is not a Georgetown team that we look forward to watching. Georgetown and Patrick Ewing, you guys get the flagrant foul. Another break. When we come back, fragrant foul number two. From the college basketball flagrant foul to the NBA flagrant foul, and this one pains me to do this. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, you see the logo on the screen. Those of you who are listening to the audio version, this flagrant foul from the NBA comes to the one only Milwaukee Bucks. Now, those of you who might be looking at, looking around, looking at whoever you're listening to with, or looking at the mirror, or whatever it is, like, why is the playmaker doing a flagrant foul on the Milwaukee Bucks, who currently sit third in the East at 26-14? It's a very good question. Very good question. Currently, even though this says 25-14 on the screen, this is actually 26-14 because they did beat the Knicks yesterday, and I will get to that in a minute. 19th in points per game at 112.4. Number one in rebounding at 49.3, basically 50 rebounds a game. 18th in assists at 24.5. And 9th in opponents' points per game at a 111.2. Nevertheless, you're still probably asking yourself, why is he giving them a fragrant foul, ladies and gentlemen? Before last night, before they played the Knicks, as you can see, Giannis and the Kupo number, who is a MVP candidate, 32 points a game, averaging 11.8 rebounds a game, giving you 5 assists per game. So you're talking 32-12-5 a game from Giannis Antetokounmpo, which is the reason why he's in the running for MVP along with Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, Kevin Durant, and maybe Joel Embiid. Nevertheless, as you can look here, I picked the Milwaukee Bucks to get to the Eastern Conference Finals to go out against the Boston Celtics. By the way, the Boston Celtics are number one in the East at 29-12. Right behind them is the Brooklyn Nets at 27-13. Okay, and then it's the Milwaukee Bucks, who have a half a game lead on the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are 26-15. Right, the Bucks are 26-14. That's what we have right now. But I picked the Milwaukee Bucks to make it to the Eastern Conference. Not only did I pick the Milwaukee Bucks to get to the Eastern Conference, I picked them to beat the Boston Celtics to get to the NBA Finals against the LA Clippers, which is the reason why if the Clippers don't turn things around, they'll be getting a fighting crowd very soon. As of right now, they might be getting it quicker than you think with their despicable play that they have been showing. So, why? Why is the team that has lost six in a row currently and are at 500 is not getting the fighting crowd this episode, but the other team, who is 26-14, is getting the fighting crowd this time? Well, that's because they haven't been playing good ball lately. As you can see here, you don't see the Knicks on here, but we'll get to that game in a minute. You beat the New Orleans Pelicans back on the 19th of December. Then from there, at Cleveland, at Brooklyn, at Boston, and at Chicago, all L's, all losses, before you beat Minnesota at home, and then Washington comes in there and blows the doors off you. Then you return the favor to against Washington before Toronto beat you. And then Charlotte comes into Milwaukee. And then they beat you by 30. I want y'all to understand the flavor and foul here. You lose to Cleveland. Understandable. You lost by 8. You get your doors beat off you by the Brooklyn as part of that 12-game win streak that they had by 18. From there, on Christmas Day, you get the doors blown off you again by Boston, in Boston, 5 p.m., right across when the Los Angeles Rams decided to blow the doors off the Denver Broncos. That was happening at the same time. Then you go to Chicago and you get beat. Then you get the doors blown off you New Year's Day by the Washington Wizards. And then on the 6th, the Charlotte Hornets beat the doors off you at home. Okay. Now, I'm continuing. This is what happened last night, ladies and gentlemen. This is last night. This is how they got to 26-14. 111-107 win at Madison Square Garden over the New York Knicks. Bucks come from 17 down, stop Knicks 4-game win streak. Giannis Antetokounmpo could feel the Bucks playing with more energy and could sense a shift in their confidence on their 3-point shots. This is what was said last night. Speaking of that game, Jalen Brunson went for 44.7-4, but it wasn't enough. Mr. Giannis, 22-10-5, okay? 10 points less than his average, but 2 rebounds less than his average, but you get the point. So it was... The shooting was terrible in this game last night. Milwaukee shot 43.8% from the field. New York shot 38% from the field. 3-point range was no better. Milwaukee 38% from the field. New York 26.8% from the field. And it's on your own building. It's in Madison Square Garden. Free throws were terrible for Milwaukee. Only 78% from the strike. While New York hit 91% from the charity strike. Milwaukee had 27 assists, and New York only had 16. Rebounds was even, fast break points was even. So, yeah, good job. You got yourself on the winning track. Nevertheless, this game right here was the ultimate decision of me doing the frame foul on either the Clippers or the Bucks. I could have did both, but I know how to get Georgetown in there. 138-109. In Milwaukee against an 11-29 Charlotte Hornets team. Now I'm 11-30 because they lost their last game. Let me see who gave them their last loss. Ah, the Indiana Pacers. Okay. Yeah, the Charlotte Hornets, as you, those who are watching on YouTube, dropped 51 points in the first quarter in Milwaukee. 51 points in the first quarter. They scored 84 in the first half. This game was over before it even started, just like the way Georgia had the game won before it even started against TCU last night. Okay? This is, so Charlotte did what Georgia did to TCU. Charlotte did that to Milwaukee, and that was days before. It was back on the 6th when this happened. This was 3 days before the national championship game. By the way, Milwaukee's at home. This is in Wisconsin. This is not in North Carolina. It was in Wisconsin, by the way. Okay? Shout out to Jay Spivey, who goes on Snowman in the Morning every Monday. He's in the Carolina area. I wish I could talk to him about this game, because it was just one of them games that blows my mind. Nevertheless, Mr. Giannis Antetokounmpo against that very Hornets team. 9 points. 2 from 7 from the field. That comes out to 28.6% from the field. 4 rebounds. He was a plus minus. He was a minus 21 and a plus minus in 22 minutes played. You telling me one of the worst teams in the goddamn league. One of the worst teams in the league outside of Houston, San Antonio, Detroit, and Orlando. The Charlotte Hornets can beat you like this. And the main guy of the Milwaukee Bucks can only give me 9 points, can take only 7 shots, can grab me only 4 rebounds, and be a minus 21. This is why a flagrant foul has been given to the Milwaukee Bucks. This pathetic performance here against a Charlotte Hornets team that nobody gives a crap about can do this to you. I'm stunned and amazed. Now, part of the reason why the Milwaukee Bucks do struggle from time to time is because this guy right here, Chris Middleton. The Milwaukee Bucks have played at this moment. This was 39 games. They have played a total of 40 games here. And of those 40 games, Chris Middleton has only played 9. Thus, he has missed 30-plus games this season. Nevertheless, Milwaukee still is in within the top 3 of the NBA in the East. Okay, they still have a chance for the top spot of the East. Now, but the problem is you will need Chris Middleton because Giannis can't do it by himself. Jrue Holiday, he wants to have his games when he wants to have his games. Just like last night against New York Knicks when he helped bring the Bucks back from down 17 to win that game. We don't get that consistently from Jrue Holiday. We know what we're getting from Giannis. We're going to know what we get from Giannis. Bobby Portis, he has those games every now and then. Brooke Lopez, he has those games every now and then. But you're going to need Chris Middleton back. You're going to need him back. You're going to need him back playing with the team so the team can get it back in a rhythm with Chris Middleton. But the fact that he has missed 30-plus games already is not a good sign for my Milwaukee Bucks, because I got them going to the finals. Nevertheless, hopefully they will get it together, they will turn them around, and they will handle business like I know they can. But as of right now, because I am a fair-minded guy, I have to do this to the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, like I said, you just beat the Knicks. Tomorrow, you face the Atlanta Hawks. Be prepared. Okay, that's the beginning of the 4-game winning streak. You started off good, you went into Madison Square Garden, you took care of them. Now you got to go to State Farm Arena and take care of the Atlanta Hawks before you have back-to-back games with the Miami Heat. Before you come back on, you face Indiana and Toronto. Before you go on the road against Cleveland again and a woeful Detroit team. Before you face off against Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. The Indiana Pacers again before you see Zion Williamson and those Charlotte Hornets come back to Milwaukee. Maybe this time by the end of the month when Charlotte Hornets return to visit back to Milwaukee, that you'll give them the beating that they so richly deserve. Okay? So how you started the month is how I want you to end the month. I want you started the month getting your ass whooped. I want you to end the month giving out ass whoopings, okay? Can you do that for me? But as of right now, my flagrant foul is on the Milwaukee Bucks. The Playmakers Bar is proudly to announce that it's landed a partnership deal with Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus. Stream live sports from any device that you have, whether it is your computer, laptop, or even your cellular device. Catch breaking news live when it happens and enjoy a mountain of entertainment from movies to shows to whatever you love doing. Paramount Plus. Plan starts at $4.99 a month, but right now, you can get a free trial. Just hit that link below with the Playmakers blog and start your free trial right now. Paramount Plus, Mountains of Entertainment. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as we get ready to close it out, we, as you see here, we got some games for you to watch, and we're going to do it fast break style.
Controls it. James all the way in for the slam! By Adams, his sixth. Morant blows by Primo. Attack! Oh!
All right, beginning tonight, as we begin this off, we are in the women's bracket. For the women's, we have 17 ranked Michigan taking on Purdue. That is 6:30 tonight on the Big Ten Network. Can the Lady Wolverines get to 14 wins, or will Purdue pull off the upset? Speaking of another top 20, speaking of which, Kansas, the 23rd ranked Jayhawks, they are in Austin to take on the Lady Longhorns on the Longhorn Network at 8 p.m. Can the Jayhawks avoid the upset trap that is the Lady Longhorns? Continue on with the ladies. Tomorrow, Kansas State is taking on 15-ranked Iowa State, 7:30 on the Big 12 Network. After that, we're going down to that 8 o'clock slate. 8 o'clock slate, the 4th-ranked UConn Huskies. They should have the number of players eligible this time, but they're taking on a 14-1 hot Lady Red Stones of St. John. This was not, it will not be an easy test for the Lady Huskies without Geno Auriemma at the helm. We shall see how they do and how they fail against St. John's. Also at 8 p.m. on the Big 12 Network, Oklahoma State, they are on the road. They are in 18-ranked Baylor Bear country. Baylor Bears, they are pretty good at home. They don't lose much at home. Oklahoma State have a tough head about trying to pull off a world upset. Speaking of road and tough battles, 19-ranked Oklahoma Sooners, the Lady Sooners are on the road. They are taking on the Texas Tech Red Raiders, a hard place to play in when it's coming to Lubbock, Texas. Can the 19-ranked Sooners keep it going? And same thing for the 25th-ranked Wildcats of Villanova. Can they go to DePaul and avoid the upset against the DePaul Blue Devils? Continue on tomorrow for the ladies. A big matchup in the ACC, 6 p.m. tomorrow, ACC Network, 11-ranked Wolfpack taking on a Florida State Lady Seminoles team that you do not want to sleep on. 15-3 versus 13-3, the Wolfpack, they are on upset alert going into Tallahassee. We have a top 10 showdown in the Big East at 6:30 on the Big Ten Network. Well, not on the Big East, but the Big Ten, top 10 Big Ten matchup on the Big Ten Network at 6:30. Sorry about that, trying to go too fast. 9th-ranked Terrapins take on 6th-ranked Indiana. Terrapins and Hoosiers, can you get it going? Let's see who's going to come out on top. Indiana 14-1, Maryland 13-3. Somebody's going to take that extra L, and it could be pivotal when it comes down to Selection Sundays and what seeding one of these teams get. The number one team in the country, they are facing off against the last team to ever beat them, the Kentucky Wildcats. You remember ACC title on the line? Ryan Howard, who played a phenomenal season with the Atlanta Dream in the WNBA season. They shocked the world by taking down South Carolina and taking home the ACC title. Well, number one, South Carolina avenged that loss with a vengeance when they go to Warp Arena at 7 p.m. on the SEC Plus Network. From the ladies, we continue on with the ladies. We have the 5th-ranked LSU Tigers, who will alter their best start in program history for Lady Tigers, 16-0, but they take that undefeated streak to Missouri of 14-3 Missouri, saying that it's not easy to win in Columbia, Missouri on the SEC network. Wake Forest and Notre Dame get together at 7 p.m. Louisville and Virginia Tech faces off as well, along with Clemson and Duke. North Carolina and Virginia get together. All right, from the ladies to the men. Speaking of which, we ended the ladies talking North Carolina, Virginia. We begin talking North Carolina, Virginia tonight on the men's side, 9 p.m. ESPN. The second of our doubleheader, because our first of our doubleheader takes us to the Big Ten. Michigan State, Wisconsin, 7 p.m. ESPN. Tom Izzo trying to get a big win for his Spartans, but they got to go to Madison, Wisconsin to take on the Badgers. Right around the same time on ESPNU, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, down in Manhattan, Kansas. How will the Kansas Wildcats face off on this one? Continue on with tonight's slate for the men's. Texas Tech is in Ames, Iowa to take on the 14-ranked Iowa State Cyclones. There should be a doozy one down in Iowa. Oklahoma, they are going to Rock Chop Jayhawk Town as they face off against number 2 Kansas. At 9 on the ACC network, the battle for Tennessee begins when Vanderbilt takes the trip to Knoxville to take on the 5th-ranked Tennessee Volunteers. Sticking with the SEC, going out to the west side of the SEC, Auburn, 21st-ranked Auburn Tigers are going to take on the Ole Miss Rebels. And in the Mountain West, we have Nevada going on the road to San Diego State to take on the 23rd-ranked Aztecs. Tomorrow, we have a Big East showdown. Marquette, 25th, hosting number 6, UConn. This could be a doozy. This could be a real doozy going towards the Big East tournament. I'm looking forward to that. That is at 7 p.m. Also at 7 p.m., number 4-ranked, the Crimson Tide of Alabama. They are in Bedville, Arkansas, to take on 15th-ranked, the Arkansas Razorback. Like I said with the UConn Marquette, this is the same thing with this one for the SEC tournament seeding. Going back to the Big East, Creighton, who started off great and they went on a very, very bad slump. They are playing at 7 o'clock as well on the FS1 network as they are visiting 12th-ranked Xavier. Continuing on tomorrow's slate, Missouri is taking on Texas Tech in a big SEC showdown for seeding purposes and tournament resume. Big Ten has a top 20 matchup in the Big 12 between 17th-ranked TCU and 10th-ranked Texas down in Austin, Texas. That is 9 p.m. on ESPN2. The battle for Texas is a game you don't want to miss. 9:30 on the ESPN network, 8th-ranked Gonzaga is facing off against one of the toughest rivals there is in BYU. And then to cap it off on a Pac-12 night, 11 p.m., Utah versus UCLA should be a fun one. And then from there, let's go to the NBA. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, tonight in the NBA, beginning with the TNT doubleheader, kicking off with Oklahoma City Thunder in South Beach to take on the Miami Heat. A game that most people will probably would like to watch if they had the opportunity. At 9 p.m., the Cleveland Cavaliers, they are in Salt Lake City to take on the Utah Jazz, two teams who are looking good, who are playing some good ball. But our second doubleheader on the TNT Network, 10 p.m., it is the Phoenix Suns versus the Golden State Warriors. Will Devin Booker play for the Suns? Will Steph Curry return for the Golden State Warriors? What will Klay Thompson, what will Chris Paul do? DeAndre Ayton, Draymond Green, Jordan Poole is a Western Conference showdown in the Bay Area on TNT. And 10:30 tonight, it is Luka Doncic, who I did a heat check on last week, and who is still my MVP of the season right now. He's in Crypto.com Arena as he take on Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and the Los Angeles Clippers, who I am very concerned about that this streak can go to 7 now if Luka has his way, who has always had his way with the Los Angeles Clippers. That is tonight. Tomorrow, the Bucks and the Hawks get together, as we know earlier. That's the first of the ESPN doubleheader. 7:30, you have the New Orleans Pelicans. Will Zion be back for this game or not? We shall see, but they're taking on one of the best teams in the NBA, Boston Celtics at TD Garden. Also, the Indiana Pacers are getting together with the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. This should be a fun one for Eastern Conference purposes. And then your second of your daddy have little figures to Phoenix on after they get done playing with the Golden State Warriors tonight. They have to hop on a flight and go all the way to Denver, Colorado to take on Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets on ESPN. And then on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, Thursday, the Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks get together down in South Beach. But TNT has the doubleheader on Thursday, as it is the Boston Celtics visiting the Brooklyn Nets without Kevin Durant. Also, then down at 10 p.m., we have the Cleveland Cavaliers facing off with the Portland Trail Blazers. But our second doubleheader of TNT puts Luka Doncic right back in Crypto.com Arena. After he gets done with the Clippers, he faced off with LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers, who they beat on Christmas Day. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the games to watch on a fast break edition of Fast Break.
Controls it. James all the way in for the slam.
By Adams, his sixth. Morant blows by Primo. Attack. Oh!
Thank you for tuning in today's episode of Shooting Lights Out. As we get ready to go, those of you who are watching on YouTube, thank you for watching. Subscribe to the YouTube channel to keep up with everything that we do. Those of you who are listening on the audio version, let us know. Subscribe with us on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Prime, whatever the case may be, whatever your favorite platform is. Go ahead and follow us, subscribe to us. Leave us a review. That would be nice to know how we are doing and what we can do better at. And last bit of business, like I said, you can get free U.S. shipping for either Lids or Fanatics, depending on what you like better. For Fanatics, it is 24SHIP, 24 ship. And for Lids, it is Lids 24LIDS24. From the Playmaker out here in the good old state of Florida, thank you for tuning in to Shooting Lights Out. I will catch y'all next week.
But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Being through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the floor.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.